that hope would be put into us. And that you'd speak to us through your word today, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. I remember a little while ago having a conversation with a guy. He's not part of this church, but he was just saying that he'd get a little bit frustrated from time to time because just as he started singing, someone would get up to the front and take the mic and start talking and interrupt the singing. And you just start singing again, then someone would get up and interrupt the talk with the singing time with more talk. And I listened to it, and I didn't comment anything, but in my heart I thought, you've missed the whole point. The whole point is that when we get together as a people of God, we're worshiping, and there's a two-way communication. There's songs that describe our love and our adoration, but then there's the prophetic word that comes to us from God's heart. Amen? And well, I mean, I wouldn't want anything else. Imagine four hymns and a her, and we all go home. We had a nice sing-song. That's all it is. You can go to a club and have a sing-song. Go to a pub and have a sing-song. And this is a time to worship God and have the prophetic flow of His Spirit into our lives. Amen? Well, good morning, church. It's great to be here. As wonderful it is to have a few weekends off, like we've just had the last two weekends, been away. And I must confess, when we are on leave, my wife and I, like these last two weekends, we don't go to church on our weekends off. Do you find that strange? We actually wake up on Sunday and think, wow, there's got to be something wrong with this. But now we're free from that. Praise God. But as good as it is to have a rest, and especially when your job is so much church-related that you need a break from the actual church side of the things, you know how good it is to come back into the fellowship and be with God's people in worship and fellowship and ministry. I tell you, we can very easily take it for granted. This is a wonderful opportunity we have. And while we all know that you don't have to go to church to be a Christian, there's no doubt about it. When you come into an environment with God's people in worship, your spirit gets fed. Your spirit gets revitalized. Your spirit gets encouraged again. Amen? I mean, where else could you turn around and wave the past goodbye and look to the future and receive all God's got for you? Come on now. You think you can do that in front of your TV? Your kids will think you're crazy. Now, it's such a good place to be back and here. On Thursday afternoon, we went to go and see all the young folk off at the airport. Fusion Band went off to Singapore. A lot of the parents were there. And it was just such an atmosphere of faith. Aren't you proud of our young people in the church? They saw something, they wanted to do it, they had no money, no resources, and 6 months ago they started working towards it, and 20 of our young people, all paid, all expenses paid, airfares, accommodation, and they even had enough for R1,000 spending money each for this time away. And just praise God for that. And thank you for your generosity and helping them build their faith as well. I think we as the older parents can take a lesson out of their book. Amen? Well, thanks for your great enthusiasm. This is a good time to take up the offering. Why don't you guys come forward? And we're going to bring our offering. Just to welcome you if you're visiting with us. I wonder if we have any first-time visitors here this morning. Don't you want to raise your hand? We'd love to welcome you. Gentlemen there, some ladies here. Anybody else? Folk at the back there. Welcome, welcome. Nice to have you visiting with us. And this is a time in the service we as a family take to bring an offering and a tithe. And we do this not because we think God responds to our giving. Amen? God doesn't respond to our giving. Our giving is a response to our faith that says our God has met all our needs according to His riches and glory. So we make a declaration together, loud enough for the person next to you to hear. Say, Father God, thank you for the gospel. Thank you that I had an opportunity to receive the gospel. Thank you for the faithfulness of others that brought me to that place. And now through the giving of my tithes and offerings, I pray that your gospel will reach many lives in this coming year. In Jesus' name, Amen. Thank you. Thank you. As we take that up, just want to say that today is officially my first day back from leave. So Jimmy's going to come up and preach any minute now. It's so nice to have this last week off. And then just be back with all ye lovely people. But I do feel to say to you that there's two words burning on my heart. And I'm so looking forward to unpacking it into these next couple of weeks and months. And it's firstly that we become established in our identity in Christ. And we've been teaching something into that. We've been through the book of Hebrews. I've been looking through the book of Colossians and just amazed at how important it is for you as a believer, and I've said this before, not to read the Bible as a book telling you what you should do, as much as reading the Bible to find out who you are. Because that's what this covenant is for. And the best place to find out who what your new identity is in Christ is from the Word of God. And the preaching of the Word is not to tell you what you should do and what you shouldn't do, it's to tell you who you are. Now that's the first point. That's establishing our identity. And for that, we've looked at the covenants, we've looked at the finished work of the cross, etc. But there's a second part to that. And that is this. That once we established in our identity who we are in Christ, the second thing is just be yourself. Just be yourself. Because when we go to the scripture and we look at it as a rule book and a list of do's and don'ts, we come into religious bondage. But we're moving past that into a place of looking at the word as our testament, the covenant, the better covenant, the richer promises. And when we find out who we are, we can just be ourselves. The new person you are. The real person you were created to be. And as we go to the book of Colossians over the next couple of weeks and maybe months, we're going to discover what that person looks like. We're going to look in the mirror of what that person looks like. And then we're going to be free to just be ourselves. Isn't that nice that you can just be yourself? That there's no one else like you and you can just be yourself, provided you established in your new identity. And that's when you'll be everything God has called you to be. This is going to be a year of increase. It's going to be a year of favor. It's going to be a year of fulfillment, of promises. It's going to be a year of letting go and stepping in to what God has for us. Amen. Bless you guys. Jim, I'm trying to come up.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks to you. All the elders, once again, I mean, I don't ever take this lightly, this opportunity to come and share God's word. It really is such a treat to kind of give you a bit of a reflection on what's going on in my life and in my heart as every day God seems to just be gripping my heart even more and more and more. And I'm just going to ask the guys on the sound desk just to get ready with some scriptures. I'm going to give you the title of the sermon and then I'll get into the rest of the details. But the title of my sermon this morning is, what happens between the now and our happily ever after? Because there seems to be something that we're kind of saying like, yeah, 2010, good riddance. I mean, goodbye. And hello, 2011. But didn't we just say this last year? And the truth is that the Bible says that we are blessed. That goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. And the prophetic word this morning was exactly that song we sang, Hosanna, if only we could see your face and everything else makes sense. Makes sense. And so what I want to kind of do is just kind of prepare us, because on the way to our happily ever after, there's going to be some stuff happening. And it shouldn't discourage us or drop our faith and say, oh, I knew something was going to go wrong. I knew something. This, it wasn't 2011. It was 2012. Oh, don't even get me started on that 2012 nonsense. Yeah, the end of the world, doomsday kind of rubbish. Is there some stuff that's going to happen in 2012 that's going to make people say, yeah, I told you so? Of course there is. Demons have fun and games. And they like to do their little things and their little nonsenses that makes calamities take place across this wonderful earth that we live in. And so they're going to, as soon as they say 2012, and people say, yes, I believe that could happen, they've got an agreement. They say, great, well, I've got some opportunity here to now go and exercise the authority that these people have given me. So I'm not accepting it. 2011, just like 2010 and 2012, are all going to be blessed. All blessed. But between there, there's some things that happen. And I want to get into that this morning. What happens between our now and our happily ever after? I went to go and get some glass cut this week. And I went off to PG Glass here, and I was getting into the table, and there were two guys that were cutting the glass, and I said, hey, 2011, brilliant, it's going to be great. Guy looked at me, no, it's not. I said, come on, man, what's going on here? 2011, it's hope, what could go wrong? What could go wrong? And I mean, I can see this guy's not a Christian. I mean, just by the demeanor on his face, you know, it's going to be so bad. Things are going to go wrong. And I'm talking to this guy. I can't help but smile. He must have thought I'd slept with a coat hanger in my mouth. But I just said, look, I said, listen, you seem like quite a decent guy. Are you superstitious? He said, yeah. I said, well, you chose the right profession here. How many mirrors have you broken here? He said, yeah, lots. I said, well, you're still alive. You still look healthy. You still look like you're doing all right. So come on, it can't be that bad. This stuff that you believe in. And I start ministering a little bit about the good news of Jesus Christ, and I start to like open up a bit, you know? That is not all about doom and gloom. But there is such a thing of hope that swells up in every single person when we tick over from one year to the next, and it says, maybe, just maybe this year. I love that prophetic word. This year is a year of fulfillment. I agree. But there's some things that we need to look at in our understanding of how we approach those little challenges that happen between now and then. I want to bring 3 points up. The first point was not, life wasn't always a bed of roses for New Testament believers. I want to speak first about Jesus, because obviously you kind of imagine that things weren't that great with Jesus, but specifically I want to get into some of the financial side of stuff that you probably haven't heard of before, but Luke 9:13. One of the disciples had come to them and said, look, there's so many people, there's thousands of people are following us. Jesus, what are we going to do? But he said to them, you give them something to eat. And the disciples said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fishes, unless we are to go and buy food for all these people. So what does it say? That little bit there at the end, unless we go and buy food for all this crowd. What does it tell you about the financial situation then? They had the ability to go and buy food for those thousands of people. So Jesus says, you go give them the food. Okay, so all we've got is this, but you want us to go buy some? I've got a checkbook. So Jesus, at that point in time, had the financial ability, the people that were following him, had the financial ability to go and buy the food for those people. But we see a different story in Matthew 17:24-27. When they came to Capernaum, the collectors of the half shekel tax went up to Peter and said, does your teacher not pay the tax? He said, yes. And when he came into the house, Jesus spoke to him first, saying, what do you think, Simon? From whom do kings of earth take toll or tax? From their sons or others? And when he said from others, Jesus said to him, then the sons are free. However, not to give offense to them, go to the sea and cast a hook and take the first fish that comes up. And when you open its mouth, you'll find a shekel. Take that and give it to them for me and yourself. So you've got to ask yourself, why didn't he just kind of just say, listen, here's half a shekel, go give it to the guys. Don't cause offense here. We love these guys. We don't want to cause them to stumble. But just take this, go pay for yourself and myself and we'll sort it out. There's a bit of a hint of, hang on a sec, we don't have the money for that just yet, but in the fish's mouth. You'll find the money that you need for what we need to do. And so, looking at that, the first time around, you see the picture of, now hang on, they've got money to go and in the part of their ministry, they've got money to go and pay for the thousands of people's food. The second time around, they can't even go and pay their temple tax. It's interesting that at that passage of Scripture, the preceding passage, Jesus is saying that it was soon time for him to be handed over to die. So it's coming towards the end of Jesus' ministry, and you've got to wonder why, and it ties up actually, why Judas would take 30 coins. Because he obviously had seen the money going down, 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 and 30 coins of silver, I'll do that. And for me, I sat there and I was looking at these scriptures, I'm going, wow, God. Wow. Judas took his eyes off Jesus and had his eyes on the money. And so when he saw that bounty just dwindle, he thought he was on his way to his happily ever after. I'm here with Jesus and look at this bountiful. And then slowly we're down to go and fetch a coin out of the fish's mouth. And so he's looking at this kind of saying, and at that point in time he gets this thing of, well, I'll give you 30 coins of silver if you turn over your master to us. Okay. That means I'm back to where I was. And that passage of scripture, Jesus speaks about, around that passage of scripture, he says, you can't serve two masters. You either serve the one, love the one, and hate the other. And so I sat down there saying, even Jesus in his financial times had lots, he had little, but he didn't lack. Get this. He had lots, he had little, he didn't lack. And so often we look at 2010 and say, well, I've had so many struggles, trials, situations. Yes, you've had lots, you've had little, but you didn't lack. We're still sitting here clothed. We still managed to get here this morning. We still managed to have food in our tummies. We've had lots, we've had little, but we didn't lack. Paul, he went through some stuff you don't see in promise boxes. You know, there's little delightful promise boxes you buy at some stores, and it's like, Father loves you, you're the blessing, you're this. He went through some stuff that you don't find in promise boxes. Can you imagine Paul's promise box? Paul's up one for the day. May all your friends be with you, even if you're shipwrecked. Wrong one. Try another one. May all your chains result in the preaching of the gospel. Wrong one. May all the hurtful comments of your brothers encourage you to love them. This isn't the right promise box. May all your snake bites be non-venomous. If you don't pay your exorcist, you may get repossessed. No, that's definitely the wrong one. Paul went through some stuff. On his way from the promises to his happily ever after, he went through some things. And it would be wrong. I would say this, would be wrong for us to assume that some of the way that people, I've been hearing some preachers preaching, is that life is a bed of roses. And so when it doesn't quite measure up to what we're hearing, we're saying, come on, faith, shine up. I want to get to the bed of roses. I want to arrive, man. I want to arrive. And Jesus is saying, don't be anxious about anything. You're going to have lots, you're going to have little, but you're not going to lack. And you're going to be blessed. And goodness and mercy will follow you because you are blessed. Goodness and mercy is going to follow you all the days of your lives. So when I hear sermons that you are going to be blessed, you are going to be favored, you are going to be all these things, I'm saying, yes, I am. But it doesn't depend on how much or how little I have. I've learned, like Paul says, to be content in all things. Why? Why has he been content in all things? Because he has seen his Savior and there is nothing but love that he responds to. And he has seen his Father and there's been nothing but love that has come from him. And he had this revelation that if God is for me, then who can be against me? If he's prepared good things in advance for me to do, I can walk freely into this next year and enjoy every moment of it. And that brings me to my second point, the character and nature of our Father. It would be wrong of me to do a sermon like this and not speak about our Father. Because He is in control of everything at all times. He watches over us. He cares immensely for us. He loves us passionately. See, I want to ask, does the things that happen to us change our idea about the person and character of God? Or our perception of who He is and how He works? See, I've come to realize these things. 1 John 4:16. That firstly, God is love. He doesn't just have love, He is love. So we have come to know and to believe that the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. The second thing is that God is our Father. Jesus in Matthew 6:9 says, when we pray, we're to say, Our Father who art in heaven. Jesus said that before He is Lord, before He is God, before He is Almighty, before He is all of those things, to you He is Father first. If our Father is nothing but 100% love, the first point, the focal point, the locus of all things good, and He says, this person called God the Father, He is your Father first. That should bring a peace of just, oh, I don't have to strive. I don't have to try and make this thing called life work. He's going to look out for me. Which parent here would not see their kids walking around and just have their eye on them all the time? Even while you're trying to have a conversation with someone, you're always like, are they okay? Are they all right? Get off his head. Told you once. See, He loves us for who we are and not what we do. Just as Steve said, when we preach here, we're preaching who you are and not what you should or shouldn't do. Because God loves you for who you are and not what you did or didn't do. You come into relationship, into fellowship with God because of believing in the finished work of the cross, believing in Jesus Christ. After that, you have free access to the Father all the time. Not only does He love us, He also likes us. He was the one, in the Old Testament says, a writer says, He fashioned us in our mother. He knitted us together in our mother's womb. Listen to these things about the human body. Every human has spent half an hour as a single cell. A fetus acquires fingerprints at the age of 3 months. Babies are born with 300 bones, but by adulthood, we only have 206 in our bodies. An individual blood cell will take 60 seconds to make a complete circuit around your body. 1 minute's time, this one little blood cell has been all over your body. Been there, done that, seen this, got the t-shirt, I'll be back again in 60 seconds now. The average human body contains enough iron to make a 3-inch nail. Sulfur to kill all the fleas on your dog. Carbon to make 900 pencils. Potassium, enough potassium in your body to fire a toy cannon. Enough fat to make 7 bars of soap. Some people might get a bit more, a bit less, but that's the average person. Enough phosphorus to make 2,200 match heads. Enough water to fill a 10-gallon tank. By the time you turn 70, your heart would have beat some 2.5 billion times. Now don't tell me God wasn't bragging when He made you. God's just showing off here. Each and every single person, God's just showing off. He knitted you together in your mother's womb. He loves you intently. There's 100,000 hairs on an average head. Again, it's average. Some people don't lose their hair, they just grow taller than their hair. Average. But God, the Bible says that He knows every hair on your head. So He's going to the average person, 100,000. Counted it. Got it. Sorted. He's that passionate about you. He's that in love with you. The third thing about God our Father is, He no longer holds our sins against us, and He has made us as righteous as He is. 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, For our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin. Speaking about Jesus, who was sinless. He was perfection. Made Him, Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Not the righteousness of a pretty good guy or the person that's done the most works. The righteousness of God. So if you took God's righteousness, which is 100% righteous, 100% holy, He says, now that is you. 100% righteous, 100% holy. Not only does this Father love us, that has knitted us together in our mother's womb, that has taken care of us and protected us, but He has also ensured our happily ever after by making us 100% righteous. Romans 8:31 says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" This loving Father that's doting over His children, doting over you, that's passionate about you, that's taking care of your future by making you 100% righteous, is also for you. He believes in you. Do you know that? God's got this little pom-pom angel team going, rah, rah. Go Mary. Go Phil. Go Darren. Go Steve. Believe you can. He believes in us. He really does. He's not like, well, I hope they sort that thing out because when they get there, it's going to be pretty tough. The Bible says that He's prepared things in advance for us to do, and if there's tough times ahead, He's given us a way out each time. There's no dead-end street ever in your life. I'll get to that passage of Scripture just now. I don't want to jump the gun. But the Bible says that there's literally no dead-end street. You can't get to and say, there's no way out for me here. There's always a way out. See, I believe things happen to us for two reasons. Number one, we can confirm in our own hearts that we love Him unconditionally, despite what's going on. See, God loves us unconditionally. He loves us for who we are, not what we do. But I feel, talking to some people, even in my own heart, that my love is relative to what God does or doesn't do for me. So you kind of get this thing, I'm going through a tough time right now, God, you really need to come through, but I can feel my love for Him just being affected just a little bit because of what He hasn't done for me or what He should have done for me. Have you ever been in that place? It's okay to be there. It really is, because He's not threatened by us coming to Him and saying, why is this not going on? Why aren't you doing these things? Why? Why? And that's the biggest question for some of these things between our now and our happily ever after is why? Why are these things going on? And secondly, that by faith we would approach those things that are not and speak to them as though they are and change the situation by the authority that Jesus has given us to exercise here on earth. So He gives us opportunities. Those good things that He was talking about earlier on, that He's prepared in advance for us to do, are for us to change as we come across them. So Jesus says, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Is there any death in heaven? No. Then change those circumstances by bringing heaven to earth. My own life. When someone has passed away, battling with sickness, there's a bit of a relief, like shame. I mourn for the people. I mourn for the family. I feel sorry for everything that's gone on. But I feel God staring to me and saying, why'd you give up there? Jesus raised the dead. Next time we hear of someone passing away, I really am. I'm feeling like God's stirring me up and saying, go pray for the dead to be raised. Why do we give up at that point in time? Heaven, in heaven there is no death. Jesus says, as it is in heaven, bring it here to earth. Is there any lack in heaven? No. Then change your circumstances by bringing heaven to earth. Is there any sickness in heaven? No. Change that situation by bringing heaven to earth. You know, I've been speaking life over my... I've changed the way I've been praying, and I'm going to get into that a bit tonight. Because I'm preaching tonight, and I've been praying for my son differently. I don't ask God to heal his hand. I recognize now that God has given me the authority to do that already, so I'm speaking life into his hand. He's been doing stuff. The other day he walked past, we're walking in the shopping center, and I feel him squeeze my hand, which he does. If he squeezes both hands, he can squeeze the other hand as well. And so I've said, hey, you're squeezing your hand. Next minute he walks past and he's opening up his hand like this. And so before he could only squeeze this hand, his bad hand, when he'd squeeze both hands together, But now he's got this hand open and he's squeezing my hand. I said, my boy, look what you're doing here, man. And so while I'm seeing breakthrough and healing in his arm, I'm celebrating with God the way that I'm bringing heaven into earth. I'm saying, look, Dad, what we're doing here. I'm starting to exercise the authority that he's given me and believing, and I'm seeing breakthrough in the small manners. I'd love to see his whole body being transformed, his speech being transformed, everything. But even these little steps, I'm celebrating him. I'm like, man, you're a good God. And he's showing us how to bring heaven into earth. So is there death in heaven? Is there sickness in heaven? Is there lack in heaven? Is your boss in heaven? I hope so. I hope so. But you're going through some stuff at work. You're going through stuff at family. You're going through some stuff with your health. You're going through some stuff all over the show. But change your situation. Bring heaven to earth. See, God has made those things for us. Between our now and our happily ever after, he's given it to us, I can see, for now. Two reasons. One, that we would settle in our own hearts that we love him unconditionally. And two, that we would make those changes by the authority that he's given us. And I'm going to get into that with a passage of scripture in Philippians a bit later on this evening. So how do we deal with our setbacks? We hit one or two problems, three problems, four problems. How are you actually going to deal with that? Number one, I'd like to say that Jesus has come to see his kingdom established here on earth. We're Abraham's seed and we are blessed. We understand that. We cannot be a blessing to other people if we ourselves aren't able to bless them. But the way some people speak about blessing, it's like the pinnacle of their existence. It's like, this is the reason for my existence here on earth, is because I'm blessed and I want to be blessed. I want to be more blessed. And there's nothing wrong with blessing. It's just, if that's the be-all and end-all of your reason for being here, I think you've missed the point a little bit. See, he didn't come to set up Jimmy's kingdom on earth. He came to set up his kingdom on earth. And while I have the privilege of enjoying some of his kingdom being established and the blessings that come with his kingdom being established, if all I do is chase the blessing, I start to look for my own little kingdom here on earth. And I miss the plot of exactly it's his kingdom. And I'm part of his kingdom, which means that he's the king and here are the princes and princesses. And we have the privilege of being blessed because he is setting up his kingdom here on earth. The second thing I want to say is that when we deal with the setbacks that come across our lives, is that we understand that this is his kingdom he's building, right? The second thing is, setbacks are just God setting the timing for a blessing. I'm going to tell you a story now. It's lovely. I'm going to have a sip quick. I saw my dad off at the airport. And he snuck a 200-rand note to my wife because he knows I'd say, no, please, man, take yourself out and be blessed. I mean, he's put me through school. And he went through all those hard times with me. So, but he sneaks it to my wife and he says, I won't take it back. Just go and take you guys for lunch. Thanks for, my dad was staying with us. He says, thanks for everything you guys have done. Just take everyone out for lunch. So we're walking out. My boys hear that, you know, their granddad's giving them money for lunch. So they go, spur. And as you're walking out of the airport, you're thinking, okay, let's get this over with. So I go into Spur, and the food was like Spur does. You can read into that however you want. And the waiter just ignored us. The whole way through, there was just no service. No, and I was going, the flies are flying around. I'm going, let's just get out of here. I mean, I'm paying for expensive parking at this airport. Let's just go. We can find something else. So we finish our meal. I say, can I have the bill, please? And I'm still waiting, and I'm thinking, like, okay, now that's another $20 for those last 15 minutes of parking. You know, just what is with these airport prices? You know, like, it's like a little country on its own, you know, like Monaco. Just 70 Rand for a sandwich, that's a fair price for a sandwich where we're at. You know, it's just they got their own mindset of how things work in airports. You know, we can charge that here because people are paying in dollars. So I get there, and I'm thinking, I eventually get the bill, and I race off to the place where the guys are ringing up everything, and there's this Muslim ladies are shouting at the manager. So I'm standing in the queue going, come on, let's just go home now. I just want to go home. And they're eventually throwing papers around, and they're talking loud, and then the Muslim lady turns around to me. She says, you know what? I got given these vouchers by the airline saying, inconvenience, they expire today. I've got so many here. I mean, there was literally like wads of them. Would you like some for your meal? I don't know. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So I'm going there, and this 180 rand bill comes to 70 bucks. And I'm going, here I am saying this setback, bad service. I mean, if I had got my bill when I'd asked, if I got our food when I'd asked, I would have missed her altogether. Or if I'd got there a bit later, she would have given it to someone else. Who's to say that your flat tire that you get isn't stopping you from leaving at the point of time that might have caused an accident down the line? But every time between our now and our happily ever after, there's stuff that happens, and we naturally assume that this situation is retarding us from our happily ever after. Where in actual fact, God's just setting you up for a blessing. He's setting you up for more and more things. And when we come into agreement with those lies of the enemy that says, see, just check, this is so typical of life and of God. You deserve so much more. You deserve so much more than this. And look what's happening here. Can't believe it. God's dropped you again. And you come into agreement with those lies. Say, yeah, no, you're right. Then he says, great, I can carry on having more fun here. But all God's doing, you go through, say, thank you, Lord, that this flat tire has saved my family's life and other people's life. Thank you, Lord, that this and this and this and this is all seeing your kingdom being established here on earth, and that everyone here is going to be blessed because this is going to favor and bless me. The next point I'm on is relax. Not relax, that's the point. Matthew 6:25-34. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. Can I just say that again? I just love that. Jesus is just ministering to us right now. Saying this 2,000 years ago, saying it to you right now. Jesus is telling you, do not be anxious about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you'll put on. He was talking specifically to ladies there. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you being anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore don't be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father, can I say it again? Your Father knows that you need them all. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for this day is its own trouble. Hey, can you just feel that peace of God that surpasses all understanding come and minister to you now? There's nothing that God is unaware of in your life that he hasn't already made provision for. Third point. So you need to recognize the enemy's work is that he likes to lie, steal, and destroy. As soon as there's a delay, perceived delay in our happily ever after, the enemy comes and says to us, see, God dropped you once again. So typical of the things going wrong in this world. He comes to you and tells you that promotion that should have been yours, you were worth it. You deserved it. Now there won't be another opportunity for promotion for a long time. It's because of that sin in your life that you didn't sort out. That's why you got sick now. It's because that you didn't give to that needy person. That's why you're battling financially now. And he comes with those lies. And as soon as you come into agreement with him, he's got a little foothold. He says, great, now I can play some games here. That's why I made a very clear point to say that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. There is no reason for disqualification from the love of the Father because of what we do. For it, once for all, the Bible says, one sacrifice, once for all, we are made holy and righteous. See, because what happens is that it starts with doubt. See, he comes, then it becomes, did God really say you shouldn't eat that fruit? If you are the Son of God, then jump off here. He's trying to create doubt in our hearts. And when these situations happen between our now and our happily ever after, he's trying to get a bit of doubt going. Because as soon as he gets you to doubt your righteousness, doubt your position, doubt your sonship, your daughtership, doubt your, all of those things, he comes very quickly with guilt. Boom. As soon as you become guilty, as soon as you're like, oh no, you're right, comes condemnation and then penalties. Stand, like what Steve said, identity, identity, identity. We're going to be preaching the gospel more and more and more and more and more because we can't hear that enough. Because the enemy wants to come, throw more and more doubts in. I want to finish off with this last one. The provision is in the valley. See, Abraham had to go up the mountain to sacrifice his son. Because that's where the goat was. Why did he have to go take his son up there to go sacrifice his son? Well, that's where the goat was. Why did Joseph have to go to prison? Well, that's where the king's servants were. That's how he was going to get his door in there. That's why he had to go there. Why am I going through these situations, God? Moses had to go through the desert. Why did he have to go through the desert? Well, because that's where the promised land was. The other side of the desert. Jesus had to go to the cross. Because that's where he was going to meet you. See, we naturally assume all these things that happen between our now and our happily ever after. The provision is right in the middle of that valley. I want to remind you of the scripture as I finish up. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Now, while you might be thinking of temptation as in stealing and lying and all that kind of stuff, that passage of scripture, the temptation that we have is the enemy coming between our now and our happily ever after, saying, see, God's dropped you. As soon as you believe that, then you're opening up doors. The temptation that God is that he's saying, I'm your Father. I've made you righteous. There is nothing that you're going to get to that I'm not going to provide an opportunity and a way out for you in your life. So are things going to happen between now and then? Yes, there is. It's not going to change the way God feels about you. It's not going to change your how favored you are, how blessed you are, how righteous you are, any of those things. What it's going to do is it's going to say, when the enemy comes to just kind of stir up things a bit, you stand. The armor of God. I am righteous. The shield of faith. I am holy. This here is God setting me up for a blessing. My God is for me, not against me. He loves me. He's fashioned me. He's put me together. He's prepared all these things in advance for us to do. There's nothing that I can do that I can fall out of goodness or mercy, because God said that they're going to follow me wherever I go, every day of my life. It's going to follow me, follow me, follow me. Our happily ever after, and I'm going to get into that tonight, our happily ever after isn't when we've arrived with that Audi R8 or that 16-bedroom house, a room for each jet ski. That's not arriving. Arriving is when we get to the realization that when we go from this life into the next, because that's what in Philippians Paul's writing about. He says, should I stay or should I go? You know, because if I go, I want to be with my Heavenly Father. If I stay here, there's work to be done. What should I do? What should I do? There's like a choice he's got, you know. Should I stay or should I go now? You know. But when we arrive, our arrival isn't, because there's never going to be a house big enough, a car fast enough, families big enough. It's just there's always going to be something else. We arrive on that day when we cross over and we see our Father looking at us. And I'm sure, for me, He's going to say to me, my boy, my son. He's never going to leave us, never going to forsake us. But my happily ever after is when I can actually get a tangible, physical hug from my dad. And I know forever after is going to be always with him. Always, forever. With my dad, with my brother Jesus, my Savior Jesus, and with all of us. That's my happily ever after. The things that happened between 2010 and 2012, who knows? Who knows? All I know is our God is standing with us. Our God has prepared stuff for us to do that's so amazing. I mean, look at it. Fusion's off to Singapore. First week of the year, they're gone. They're doing things. Wait till you get back to work, if you aren't already back at work. Wait till you get back to school, to studying. The perception of who God is, how He operates, how He works with His children. If you can see things for how He sees things. Jesus said, if you have eyes to see, let Him see. See how He sees things. You'll see how God changes your life. If you are facing situations, I'd like you to stand. I want to pray for you. I'm going to ask God. I mean, the situations could be something as small as I've got flu, to I'm in financial trouble, or you're just actually saying like I'm frustrated with things at life. But if you're actually needing God to break through, I want to pray for you now. But not just me, everyone else. Because you know what happens when you preach a word like this? Faith starts to rise up and we say, yes, you might not have faith for yourself, but there's people that are going to be surrounding you that have faith for you right now. So if you are, just stand to your feet, right where you are. Some people still deciding if they have situations. Our God is able. Our God is strong. He is mighty to deliver, as Steve said earlier, to save us. Won't you just look around you, ask the Holy Spirit to highlight someone to you. You don't even have to get out of your chair. Just I believe that you've got faith. If you're sitting down, you might even have faith for 5 people, 20 people, for a whole block. Hey? Is the Holy Spirit highlighting some people to you? Do you feel like there's some move that you have, that you're being moved to pray for one certain person or group of people? Just lift up your hands to them, whoever it is. Whoever's standing up, whoever the Holy Spirit's highlighting you to pray for, just lift your hands in that direction of where they are. And even you that are standing, your faith has been stirred for other people. You're saying, like, I don't know why God hasn't moved in my life, but I'd love to see God move in those people's lives. Lift up your hands to someone else. Bible speaks about sowing and reaping. So Lord, we thank You for the finished work of the cross that has paid for every breakthrough that we need in this life. You have not abandoned us as orphans, but You have fathered us and You have cared for us, and there is no situation that we are facing right now that You are unaware of. Thank You that You have said that You provide a way out for every situation. Thank You, Lord, for peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding, to come upon each person's hearts and minds in the name of Jesus Christ. Let there be no anxiety whatsoever. Let peace flood their hearts, minds, and bodies right now in Jesus' name. I can just see peace is falling on people right now. Whoa, Jesus. More. Man, more. Minister to your sons and daughters, Holy Spirit. As we renew our minds on the goodness of who You are, that You are love, that You are for us, that You are strong and mighty, We speak to every situation in the name of Jesus that you will lay down and move aside. Whether it be health, whether it be financial, whether it be any lack in any form or manner. The favor of God would break through. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." So Lord, I speak to every single person sitting here in this room. And I speak their light to shine. The testimony of the goodness of God and the person of Jesus Christ would come through without them even saying a word. Because they are highly favored, blessed of this of God. We thank you, Lord. The more we see of you, the more joy and peace and love will fill our hearts. We thank you, Lord, that the next time we come together, there'll be testimonies in the people still standing this morning of how you have ripped apart situations and broken through, taken apart dark clouds and set up light. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let's all stand together. Can I just ask that we can... I still feel like God's wanting to do something here, but I'm just wanting to just let us receive from the Holy Spirit. If you can just open up your hands or whatever it is that you feel comfortable with, even if you feel like putting it... Sometimes I worship God with my hands in my pockets. It doesn't mean I'm being disrespectful. It just means I'm feeling like an embrace from Him. And so whatever it is that you feel comfortable from God, Lord, we don't want to leave this place without having you touch us. Because one touch from your Spirit can transform absolutely everything. Absolutely everything. Holy Spirit, show us our Father right now. Show us our Father, that He has promised to never leave us nor forsake us, that He is right here, right now. Give us the eyes to see Him, this loving Father. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Let the love of God permeate every single person here. Maybe you don't know that you have a relationship with the Father, like what I've been speaking about. Maybe you sit there saying, I think I've got a relationship with my Father, like you're talking about, but I'm not entirely sure. If you don't know the Father, like I've been speaking about, it is simple as praying a prayer. That prayer says that you believe that the Father loved you so much that He sent His Son. That if you just believe in His Son being sent, born of a virgin, died on a cross, perfect sacrifice for your sins. That's the prayer you need to pray. So if that's you, I'm gonna pray the prayer, and I'm gonna ask that if it is, if you wanna just kind of speak to me a bit about that. The Bible says that all you have to do literally is just pray this prayer. So, if that's you, Father, I come to you. Just say this prayer in your heart. Father, I come to you as I am. There's no way you'd rather have me. I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, that He died for my sins, that I could become the righteousness of God. He who knew no sin became sin so that I might be free of sin and become the righteousness of God. I thank you for your Son and for this life you've given me. In Jesus' name. Amen. With everyone's eyes still closed, I'd just like to ask if you have prayed that prayer, would you like to just raise your hands? Raise your hands. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for every single hand raised here. So many hands. Lord, that every single hand, that our lives are changed. No longer to be the same, because the life, the Holy Spirit, is living in us. For everyone else here, Lord, I bless them in the name of Jesus, that as they go, they might be the light and the salt of this earth. And tackle everything that they come ahead of them with a renewed mind. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Coffee, tea, enjoy fellowship.